School starts tomorrow. Can I get an amen? Amen. I used to look forward to the first day of school for a variety of reasons. One was when I was a student, I was always ready for school to start again. It was good to get back and see friends, and oh, there was that learning bit. But those friends, that was the most important part for me. And then as I got older and I became a teacher, I looked forward to the first day of school. I couldn't wait to see those bright faces, even if they did just last one day. But it was always fun to see them as they came in, ready for a new year, and for me to learn to get to know them and to learn their names and to meet new kids. And as a parent, I look forward to school starting for our children. They loved going to school. We live 17 miles from town, so you can just imagine their social life. And so they couldn't wait for school to start. And so at that first year, a year came finally when I no longer had children in school. I was not a teacher anymore. I was certainly not a student for the first day of school. And that first day when I drove by the school, I was in Fredericksburg at that point, and I drove by and I looked at the school and I thought, I know what they're all doing in there. And there was sort of a little empty spot in my heart, even though I hadn't taught for many, many years. It just hit me that it was the first time ever that I didn't have anything to do with the beginning of school. There's just something about that first day of school. Now, when I was a kid growing up, school started on the Wednesday after Labor Day. Whether you needed it to or not, that's when we started school. Now we start at the end of August, which is kind of a moving target sometimes. But back then, we knew that day, and we couldn't wait for it to come. And it would begin a whole new year of bright promise. Until about the second or third month. Then it started getting kind of boring again, and you know, you saw all those friends, and probably all of them had made you mad already, and you've probably made all of them mad already. And the teachers were getting a little gripier every day, and school just got kind of hard there in those middle months after the new and exciting things wore off. The reality of difficulties with homework, the difficulties with relationships, and the difficulties of coming to peace with the fact that you did not turn into a genius over the summer set in. You were still the average kid you had always been. That's when school gets kind of tough, and it can become a grueling and grinding exercise. But in the beginning, it is all excitement. And that's why we love to start school every year. Well, today we're going to take a look at the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is sometimes called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah was called specifically to be a prophet. Not many people in Scripture are called specifically to be prophets. And yet, that's how God calls Jeremiah. I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, Jeremiah was also called at a very early age. We can look back in verses 1 through 3, and it'll tell us who was king and how long they were king and who did this and who did that. And scholars who love doing this kind of thing have gone back and figured out how long that was and how long that was and when that was. And they've all kind of come to the agreement that when Jeremiah received this call, he was 10 years old. Now, that is just pretty young to have God interfering in your life. Most of us think of 10-year-olds as riding their bikes and playing Little League baseball. But I guess they grew up a little faster back in the day. Jeremiah gave what I believe is the typical response to a call from God. He said, "This is why I can't do that. I hear you. But this is why that is not a good idea. You have chosen the wrong person." And he's not alone in that. Moses did it. Jonah did it. Gideon did it. Isaiah did it. Ezekiel did it. So many more of God's people say to God, great idea. Ask someone else. Here's why I'm not a good choice. In fact, I have to say that when people say, I am the one that God has chosen, I'm almost suspect. I want to hear him say, God called me and I just wasn't sure. Because that seems to be the way that people respond in the Bible. But that's just my opinion. But so let me read a few of those verses again to you. Verses 4 and 5. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah said, Oh, sovereign Lord, I can't speak for you. I am too young. But God wasn't having any of it. God proceeds to tell Jeremiah exactly why he's the right choice. And he tells Jeremiah that it's not really about him anyway. Because God says, I will put my words in your mouth, and you will be a prophet to all nations. And get this, this was Jeremiah's homework. To uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build up and plant six things, and four of those things were not very pleasant sounding. Building up and planting appeals to most of us, doesn't it? But tearing down and uprooting and destroying and overthrowing, that just doesn't sound like anything we would want to do. And it certainly sounds like a pretty tall order for a 10-year-old. But apparently Jeremiah doesn't have much of a choice in the matter. And so he becomes a prophet for the nations. Now at first, it was probably pretty exciting. But after a while, it became a downright burden. And he even threatens to quit because of all of the grief that he is taking from the very people he was sent to help. Read chapter 20 of Jeremiah for more details about that. Now, it is no fun being a prophet. And Jeremiah served in that role for 40 years. With no Christmas holidays, with no spring break, and with no summer vacation to help ease the stress just a little bit. Now, thankfully, God does not call that many people to be prophets, but he does call every single one of us into ministry. At least that's what the United Methodist Book of Discipline says. Listen to these words from paragraphs 126 and 127. It might be the first time some of y'all have heard this. All Christians are called through their baptism to the ministry of servanthood in the world and to the glory of God and for human fulfillment. The ministry of the laity flows from a commitment to Christ's outreaching love. Lay members of the United Methodist Church are, by history and calling, active advocates of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every lay person is called to carry out the Great Commission. Every lay person is called to be missional. Now, there's a lot in that section, and I'm not going to stand here and read the whole section to you. But if you want to know where it is, I'll be glad to mark it and let you borrow my book of discipline. But here's the fact. United Methodists, that's us. United Methodists believe that all Christians, clergy and laity, are called by God, and this is a quote, to convince the world of the reality of the gospel. To convince the world of the reality of the gospel. God has called every single one of us, including school children and octogenarians, to be in ministry. Now, I've said this a lot of times, and if you say you've never heard it, you either weren't here one of those 20 times or you just didn't hear it. But I'm going to say it again. If you had a little mirror in your hand and you went like this and blew on it, if it clouds up, you are still in ministry. There's no retirement plan here. Jeremiah was in ministry as a prophet until his death. He answered the call of God when he was 10, and he carried through until he died in the ministry. And the biggest difference between Jeremiah and most of us is the fact that God called him to be a prophet. Being a prophet is a nasty job. People don't like prophets. They tell the truth to you, whether you want to hear it or not. And they serve as spokespersons for God, and they get little or no recognition for anything positive. They really just get recognition for irritating people. That's the job description of a prophet. So thanks be to God, most of us are not called to be prophets, but we are all called to ministry. And the good news is that God typically calls us to be in active ministry using our God-given strengths, the strengths that God himself has put in each one of us. For example, I am not called to balance the checkbook. Ask Maureen. She will tell you that is not my thing. I'm also not called to change bedpans and change IVs. You can ask anyone who has seen my nursing skills, including the patient that I have at home right now. Not that great of a nurse, I'm going to tell you. But God promises to be with us no matter where we serve. All we have to do is respond and say yes. And even if we can only muster up enough energy to do some things for a little while, God is faithful and will provide something for us that actually gives us joy to be doing. You may have heard this saying, God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Another way to say it is God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God gives us what we need in order to be in ministry. I hope that nobody thinks that at this point in the game, I've got it all under control and I know everything. I hope nobody thinks that at this point in the game, I'm doing it all by myself and not even inviting God into the ministry. I would be in a huge load of worry if that's how it was, relying only on myself. Being in ministry calls us to rely on God, and he gives us what we need. Many of you in this congregation, I'm looking at you right now, have been involved in active ministry somewhere in this church because I've seen you at it. The first time you stepped out in faith, did you have it all under control and you knew exactly what you were doing? Carol Jean? No? No. Carol Jean's saying no. How about you, Fran? No. She's Nancy? No. Amanda? No. None of them. And yet, the way that they continue is knowing that God sustains us when we respond to his call. Now, we've just blessed children. We've blessed their backpacks. We've blessed the teachers. We've blessed the students with their car keys. We have involved our whole congregation in the act of blessing, which is, by the way, a form of ministry. And the little tags that the kids are going to have on their key rings and on their backpacks are visible reminders to them and to those who see those little tennis shoes hanging off of those backpacks and those car keys. They are reminders to others that God has let loose disciples of Jesus Christ into a world who needs Jesus probably more than we have in I don't know when. We have a responsibility to live as Christians in a world that doesn't know Christ. And there are plenty, plenty of people who have not heard the message of Jesus. At the very least, our call is to be visible representatives of Jesus. And Lord, help us. Some of the worst examples of Christian living come from Christians themselves. I hate to say that, But if you're really honest with yourself, you will know it's the truth. You don't have to look too far. Just turn on the news, read the newspaper. There are many who claim to come in the name of Christ who are doing lots and lots of damage to his name right now. God has given us tools for the journey, and some of us use them all the time, but many of us have either forgotten where we put those tools or we've forgotten how to use them at all. And so I'm going to remind you of what I believe are the three most important tools that God gives us. One is study. The next one is outreach. And the third one is prayer. It's who we are as God's people. We engage in studying the scriptures. We engage in reaching out to others with a word from Christ and reaching out to members of the community when we ourselves need encouragement. And we engage in prayer by speaking to God every day, maybe numerous times a day. And the study comes with homework. Sorry. But if you didn't do your homework in school, it's going to be pretty hard to do your homework as an adult. And yet, there it is. It's what we're expected to do. And any of you who have done your homework know that God is faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to Him. What an awesome God we serve. When I answered the call to ordained ministry, which I had, by the way, put off for many years, saying, no, God, you got the wrong person. No, God, I can't do it. I'm not this or that. All of the regular excuses. I never said I was too young, but there were some excuses that I had. And so when I finally decided, okay, I'm going to do this thing, my first step was to talk to the DS, and then after that, I enrolled at local pastor's licensing school. And so I called the director of the school. He was a really good friend of mine. I said, what do I need to do? Because I'm going for it. I'm going to do this thing. And so he told me the dates, and he told me where it was going to take place, and he gave me my homework. Yes, there was homework before I even got there, which was to write a sermon, preach it, and design the worship service around it. I nearly backed out then. I had never preached a sermon in my life. I was a musician, and it was hard enough just to sing in front of people, and that's when you had the words written down for you. I was expected not only to preach a sermon, but he gave me the text. I didn't even get to choose my own text. And so after I sort of took all that in and he told me what I needed to do, I said, well, can't I just write a song and sing it? He said, nope. Here's your text. I'll see you at school. Bye. That was it. And I thought for a minute I was on my own, but I knew better. And so I started studying that text, and I started trying to figure out what you might want to say. I had some really great excuses not to do it. I mean, I had to miss 2 weeks of work, and I thought that was going to be great. But then I realized that I had over 100 accumulated sick days, so that didn't hold water. I tried another one. Oh, I couldn't be gone from home that long, but that didn't work. I really tried to tell myself I didn't hear God call, but that was a lie. I had heard it loud and clear for many, many years, as a matter of fact. So I finally did it. I used the tools of the trade. I studied scripture. I reached out for encouragement from other people because I was scared to death. And my prayer life improved so much, you just can't believe how much my prayer life improved. And I will confess that I did write a song so I would have one level of comfort, and it took a little bit of time out of the sermon so it didn't have to be as long. I confess that. God is with us when we respond to his call. It is really that simple. Not only are we not expected to do anything on our own, it is not God's desire that we do anything on our own. We might be afraid to speak. We might feel insecure about our abilities. We might think death will occur if we take a risk. And we might have a variety of excuses. But when we are faithful to respond to God's call, when we step out in faith, God lifts us up and leaves us wondering how we ever even did it after all is said and done. We have been given tools to keep in our backpacks, not just pens and paper and crayons and scissors, but things like outreach, study, and prayer. That can go in your briefcase. And here's the good thing about outreach, study, and prayer. It's big enough to fit in your pocket. You can carry those any place you go. Jeremiah was called at a time when the whole country of Israel was falling apart. Their history was probably as bad as it had been at almost any time. Kind of like what we think of today in the United States when we look at all that's going on in the world. And that's when God called a 10-year-old and said, I will put my words in your mouth and you will be a prophet to the nations. So here's the deal, in case you haven't figured it out. It's not about our abilities. It's about God's faithfulness to us. We serve a God who is faithful to us no matter what we do or don't do. And so may we answer when he calls. And if you don't think he's called you, I'm just going to say it, you haven't been listening. Because God calls each and every one of his people into some kind of ministry. Any excuse that you can come up with is not good enough. And any excuse that we offer is just like saying, God, I don't trust you enough to help me do this. May we listen for the voice of God, and may we get busy doing homework, studying scripture, reaching out to others, and letting God know that we are ready to serve. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.